Parashas Kisisa, Kapitel Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ach, Hashem, so you say, Tishmoyu, ki oisi, beini, uveinechem, lederoseichem, lodas, ki ani, Hashem, mekadishchem. Ach, as you say, Tishmoyu, however you must observe, Shapsoisai, my Shabbosois, for it is a sign between me and for you, for your generations, to know that I am Hashem, who makes you kadosh, holy. The pasuk is telling us to observe Shabbos. And it says that observing Shabbos is the sign between the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael for all generations, for Klal Yisrael, for us to recognize that the Ribbono Shel Olam made us kadosh. How do we see this sign of becoming kadosh through observing Shabbos? What is the pasuk telling us? Ten the Binyo al Torah. It says, Ach es shepsoisai tishmoyu. What is the S for? Why is it Ach shepsoisai tishmoyu? What's the S for? He says, why is the word who written in Lashon Zohar? It says, ki ois hi beini uveinechem. But if you look at the word, and the actual ksiv is who. It's written hey vav al. If we say he. So why is it that it says it's written who, but we read it he? Zokta ben Yo, Shabbos Kodesh was established by the Ribbono Shel Olam from the beginning of creation. The beginning of the Bria was already established Shabbos. 6 days are counted, and every seventh day is imbued with Kedusha Shabbos from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yom Tov, on the other hand, is established by Beis Din in this world, using the guidelines of Kedusha Kodesh as we know. Klal Yisrael also have a power in Shabbos which they can imbue with Shabbos Kodesh, which is called Tosfos Shabbos. So again, the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who created in this world, imbued Kedusha Shabbos. But Klal Yisrael, while they are the ones who are in charge, so to say, take care of imbuing Yom Tov, their Mekadosh the Chodesh and the Yom Tovim, the Kedusha of Yom Tov comes through their being Mekadosh the Chodesh of when they say Rish Chodesh should be, that will determine when Yom Tov will be. But aside from that, Klal Yisrael have an opportunity to imbue Shabbos with Chodesh as well, and that part of Shabbos is called Tosfos Shabbos. And he says there's an advantage that Tosfos Shabbos has over Yom Tov. Yom Tov only becomes Mekudesh through the power of Beis Din, while Tosfos Shabbos can be created by each and every individual Yid. Shabbos can be divided into two parts. The main part, which is the Chelek of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it goes from nightfall to nightfall. When Friday night comes, that's Shabbos, and then if Shabbos night comes, it's no longer Shabbos anymore. That is the Iker Chelek of Shabbos, which was becomes the Chelek, what we'll call, from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The other part is Tosfos Shabbos, which is the extra part of Shabbos, during which a Yid transforms part of his Chol, part of his weekday, into Shabbos. Zokta ben Yo, the chelik of Hashem is the zohar part, the part which is mashpia. The zohar is mashpia, and the nekeva is considered she's mekabel. She's the one who's mekabel it. So the chelik of Hashem is the zohar part, the mashpia. The part which he is mekadesh is called the nekeva. It is the recipient of the kedusha of the zohar. You want to know how to properly accept and be mekabel the kedusha of Shabbos that Ribbono Shel Olam gives to us? It's done through our Tosfos Shabbos. By doing Tosfos Shabbos, we're showing that we want it. We're able to be makabel all the hashpa that Shabbos Kodesh gives off. Zokta ben Yo, the S in the pasuk refers to Tosfos Shabbos. Who is written in Lashon Zohar, referring to the part of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and read as Nekeva, referring to the part of the Yid. So we see the Lashon Zohar and the Nekeva in the Hu. The Hu before that is the S in the Pasuk is the Tosfos Shabbos. So it says, Ach Eshev Soisai Tishmayu. The Ach Eshev Soisai Tishmayu should also aside from the Shabbos Sois there too. He says, Ivaiter. He says, Ach Eshev Soisai Shabbos because in two parts of Shabbos, mine and the Ribbono Shel Olam, ki he ois he beini uveinechem. It's an ois between myself, the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Klal Yisrael. And you want to know how to have the true hashpah of Shabbos, Tosfos Shabbos. If you do Tosfos Shabbos, you'll have hashpah. You'll get to be makabel from the hashpah from Tosfos from Shabbos, from the part of the Rebbeinu Shalom Shabbos, even during the not Tosfos Shabbos part. And there's a tremendous yisoid from the Binyo of how we're supposed to look at Shabbos and how we can really take out from Shabbos. It's through Tosfos Shabbos. We want to show that we can create more Kedusha. We start Shabbos earlier. We end Shabbos later. We have more Kedusha. More Kedusha. And then we can be a proper clay kibble to be mekabel, the tremendous hashpah that Rebbeinu Shalom gives off in the Kedusha of Shabbos. It says in the Ben Yoyodah, the Gemara and Shabbos and have kufiyu tes on the base. Kol hamisbal be'er Shabbos ve'oymer v'yechulu ma'ilo lov hakosev ki'ilu nase shutuf la'kodesh baruch hu. Someone who when he davens by night Shabbos, he says v'yechulu, it's ma'ilo lov. It's said on him as if ki'ilu nase, he becomes a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu completed the creation in the first 6 days. There was still one thing missing in the world. Menucha. Rest. Bo Shabbos, bo Menucha. Rest was a creation of the seventh day. That is a creation. A Yid has the power to create Tosfos Shabbos. When one creates Tosfos Shabbos, he is creating Menucha in the world. This is how a Yid can be a partner with the Baruch Hu on the creation of the world. We also have the capabilities to create a part of Shabbos. It says in the Mincha Balula, Ach Eshav Saisi Tishmari. Why is the passage used the word Shav Saisai, which is a Lashon Rabban? He says it refers to the two parts of Shabbos, Shabbos itself, and the Tosfos Shabbos, which each Yid can add to Shabbos. In the same vein as we said from the Ben Ishchai, and the Ben Yodah, and the Minyo Al-Tayr. Rabbeinu Bachia, Ach Eshav Saisi Tishmari, Shmartem Esa Shabbos. Why does the passage need to repeat? Ach Eshav Saisi Tishmari, Shmartem Esa Shabbos. Is to be Miramis, one Shmir for Shabbos, and one for after Shabbos, which is Tosfos Shabbos. It says in the Likutei Torah Ari, quoting the Medrash in Shmos Rabbah, Moshe Rabbeinu received permission from Paro to allow Klal Yisrael to rest on one day of the week. Which day? Shabbos. The Tefillah of Yom Shabbos, we say, Yismach Moshe B'matnas Chalkoi. Moshe chose the same day which the Rebbeinu Shalom chose as a day of rest. Ach, Hashem says in the Shmeiru, the Rebbeinu Shalom tells Klal Yisrael that they must heed the Shabbos because it is my Shabbos. Klal Yisrael must not heed Shabbos for their own enjoyment, as a day of rest, as it was in Mitzrayim. In Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael will put to hard labor. Moshe Rabbeinu chose Shabbos Kodesh, and it shouldn't be, oh, you know what? Let's have a restful day. Let's take Shabbos, and we'll just rest and relax and enjoy. They must heed the Shabbos because it's the Rebbeinu Shalom Shabbos. We have to imbue Shabbos Kodesh with the proper enjoyment. Enjoyment of learning Torah. There's a unique Shabbos that could be food involved also, but it all has to be for a tachlis of Kavod Shemayim. It says in the Be'er Moshe, L'daski ani Hashem mikadishchem. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Yud says, I'm like Hashem Baruch Hu Moshe, Matono Toi V'yeshi V'beis Genozai, V'Shabbos Shema, V'ani Mevakesh, Lutna Li Yisrael, Leich V'haydim. Because Baruch Hu tells Moshe, I have a great gift, Matana Toiva, a wonderful, good gift. It's in my storehouse. And its name is Shabbos. And I'm asking you to give it to Klal Yisrael. Go let them know. Zok de Ber Moshe. The main purpose of the mitzvah of Shabbos is the Das. Lo Das, to knowledge. Kedusha Shabbos causes Klal Yisrael to be Zeicha to Das, which attaches Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This knowledge of knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu eliminates all doubts of Emunah. When we have Shabbos Kodesh, it's supposed to attach us to the Rebbeinu Shalom through Das, knowledge. Das of Emunah of the Rebbeinu Shalom. It says in the Kaina de Igrisa, B'davar Achat Shenestave B'sfeikes B'Emunah. He says, what should one do if he has he has questions in Emunah and is in deep anguish over it? Doesn't know what to do. Zog the Stifler, one who is in this predicament should not think about it. Rather, he should devote himself completely to learning Torah and performing mitzvahs no matter what his doubts are. There is no natural solution to this problem. There may be a scholar which can help, sagt der Zweifler. One should be extremely meticulous in his observance of Shabbos Kodesh. He should study the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah very well until he becomes an expert in all of Hilchos Shabbos. He should learn the halachas with the intention to follow its halachas in great detail. He should also not speak, he says, the divrei chol, idle chatter on Shabbos. He should eat the Shabbos meal and rest, or toil in the study of Torah Akdosha. If one follows this course of action, Dr. Stipler, in a short time he will see wondrous results. All of his doubts will disappear. This course of action will only be effective if one observes Shabbos Kodesh L'Shem Shemayim. If one only observes Shabbos in order to appear as a Muna, it will not work because that will mean that he's not observing L'Shem Shemayim. As I state in the Stipler, a person, he says, learning the Torah, a person shouldn't question his emunah. If he learns and he learns and he learns the Shem Shemai, the emunah will come. He'll see the Rebbein Yisrael. And then he gives a skula, as we call it. And his skula is listen to Shabbos Kodesh. You should heed Shabbos Kodesh. L'shem Shemayim, not so in order that you should get a Muna, but you should do it because it says in the Torah to keep Shabbos. And if you'll do that, you'll come to the true Muna, and you'll have a true connection to the Rebbein Shalom. Zokten v'chachmas chayim. There's a parasha of Shabbos before and after the parasha of Chet Ha'egel. Chai Yisrael were pained that because of the Egel, they broke the connection between themselves and the Torah. They feared that as a result, they were no different than any other nation in the world. That's what they were scared of. Chas v'shol. A guy who keeps Shabbos is Chayiv Misa. The Torah tells us, the parasha states, the parasha of Shabbos before and after the Egel, as a nechama to Chal Yisrael, to console Chal Yisrael, that even after they did the Chet Egel, they still have a Din Yisrael. They still have the mitzvah of Shabbos. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is the bridge between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Perhaps now we can understand a little bit better, a little bit of a better understanding of what it means. Ki oisi b'ni v'neichem l'dayrei seichem l'da'atz ki ani Hashem mekadoshchem. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that one who davens in Erev Shabbos is v'chul, the Keter considers if he is a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world. The key words are Erev Shabbos. It doesn't say then it says in the Gemara in Shabbos, it says Erev Shabbos. When it's Erev Shabbos, you say Vayechulu. What is he saying? One who says Vayechulu, while it's still technically Erev Shabbos, he imbues Kedusha into the world and changes the day into Shabbos. The Rebbein Shalom, his Shabbos is Me'eis Leis, from nightfall to nightfall. That's the Rebbein Shalom Shabbos. When is the next Shabbos? When is the Shabbos of that Yid can imbue the Choyl, his Choyl, with Shabbos Kodesh? Before Shabbos, after Shabbos, there's a different Zmanim. The Rosh Hashulchan says, big Chiddush, it can be done the whole day. If someone in the Kali, it shouldn't be done before Plaga Mincha. It's done, does it before Plaga Mincha, he says Shabbos. That's why he states in the Rosh Hashulchan. It's a tremendous Chiddush. It seems to be a Das Yochid. But Ma'i said Plaga Mincha, on you certainly can. Tremendous, tremendous Chus. But that's what will create Shabbos Kodesh and will make Shabbos Kodesh for everyone. And that will, a person will then come to an understanding of a true Emunah. He has a Sheikhus to the creation of the world with making Kedusha, making Tosheh Shabbos. Rebbein Yisrael created Tosheh Shabbos, he gave the Klal Yisrael this opportunity for Tosheh Shabbos. The Rebbein Yisrael is Kodesh. He gives Klal Yisrael a chance to be Kodesh as well. We must take advantage of this great opportunity to be a partner with the Rebbein Yisrael. We must make sure to add Kedusha to this world. How? By making Tosheh Shabbos. Tremendous thing. People don't realize, perhaps, that we have such a great opportunity. Tosheh Shabbos. People are rushing last minute. All of us, it's hard. And even as the days get longer now, the Shabbos start later, we still have the same rush, even though now we have 10 minutes more than last week, and 20 minutes more than 2 weeks ago, and so on. We're still always in a rush, rush, rush. People are coming in the last minute. They're losing an opportunity. It's even, there's a, preferably, a person could have a mincha earlier before he goes to shul Friday night to go to be mekabel Shabbos. Pashtus, it's even better because a person, when he comes to shul and he davens mincha, even if he comes on time, mincha is still the day before. After mincha, it's already shkia time, so where's the taste of Shabbos? famous from Shlomo Zalman that perhaps you can daven mincha even after, but certainly if one is able to daven mincha a little bit earlier in the day and then come to shul early and be mekabel Shabbos, do make Taisa Shabbos, say I'm gonna have Taisa Shabbos. You sit down, you can say Shir Shirim, you can learn something, whatever it is, Taisa Shabbos. Such a tremendous opportunity we have. We shouldn't let it go by and not take advantage of this tremendous opportunity. A little later in the parasha, Kapitel Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, the Pasuk says, "Vayemer Hashem Moshe, Psal Lecho Shnei Luchos Avonim, Kari Shonim." Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to carve two stone tablets like the first ones. Rashi says that Kadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe a sanpirion, a sapphire, and told Moshe that all the chips that come off that there's a luchas, there was a sanpirion, Moshe Rabbeinu carved out luchas from this, and all the chips would be his. Moshe says, Rashi says, Moshe became very wealthy from these precious stones. What is the significance of Moshe becoming very wealthy? That's number one. Why Moshe Rabbeinu cares about wealth of Gashmias? Secondly, why is a fitting way for Moshe to become wealthy? Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, did a chet egel. They had the first luchas that was directly from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Moshe Rabbeinu came down, he saw the egel, and he broke the luchas. Those first luchas that we got directly from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Because of the chet, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Moshe Rabbeinu davened to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Klal Yisrael should be forgiven, they were forgiven, and Rebbeinu Shel Olam told Moshe, "Psal lecha, go make a second set of luchas." So it's inherently, while it's wonderful that we are getting luchas, but it's not such a wonderful, happy occasion on the other part that we lost the first luchas. Why is it appropriate that Moshe Rabbeinu should get wealthy, physical richness, riches, from the fact that Klal Yisrael did an egel before? Because he did an egel, therefore there was a second luchas, therefore he got wealthy. It seems very interesting. For many years, this kasha bothered me. Why would he get wealthy from that? Yaktim Gemara Nedarim Taflamet Ches Amar Bechneina Kadosh Baruch Hu Meshar Seishchen Elal Gibor V'Oshir V'Chacham V'Anav. The Gemara tells that there are four prerequisites to have the Shchina rest on a person in order to receive Nevuah. He has to be a Gibor, he has to be mighty, he has to be an Oshir, he has to be wealthy, Chacham, a wise man, and Anav, a humble man. We learn from Moshe Rabbeinu all of these qualifications. The qualification of being wealthy is learned from our pasuk over here, Psal Lecha. The leftovers of the luchas were lecha from Moshe, which made him wealthy. As I state in the Gemara, so how do you know that you have to be wealthy? All the four things, but specifically wealthy over here we're discussing, that in order to receive Nevuah, because Moshe Rabbeinu was wealthy, Psal Lecha. Zokt in the Maral, in the Chidusha Agadis. One is only zeichet in nevuah if he is similar to the four chayes hamerkava. The lion represents the gibor. The ox represents the asher. The face of man represents chacham, and the eagle represents anav. So the four chayes hamerkava is the lion, the ox, the face of man, and the eagle. Those represent these four midos that one must have in order to receive nevuah. The eagle is the smallest of the four. That's why it represents anivus. One who is machnia himself to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu elevates him up to great stature. It says in the Ben Yoyodo, on this Gemara, Ela Giva V'Oshir Chacham V'Onav. He says it seems that the Gemara arranges the order from the lowest level of importance to the greater importance. A Gibor, Ashir, Chacham, and Anav. That the Gibor is the lowest qualification and Anav the greatest one. Zokta Ben Yoyodi, you should know this, it's not really accurate. It is true that the Anav is the greatest one, but the Anav is really the only one, he says. He says the Anav is last because that is really the only one. How so? If someone is not a Gibor, he's a not strong man, he's a weakling, as we would call him, he's weak. Or he's not an Asher, he's a poor man, destitute. He's not a chacham. He's an ignorant man. He's not wise. He's not smart. He's not intelligent. Then if he's an anav, it doesn't show true anivus. Maybe if he became all of these things, or one of these three things, he would become a big shot. What does he have to be a big shot about? Unfortunately, there are plenty of people that don't have any of these things that are still a big shot. And that's pilei ploim. But even if you have these three things, you're still supposed to be an anav. So that's the yesod. What is the real meaning that is needed in order to receive nevuah? Is one, an anav. How do we know you're a true anav? How do we see the qualification? The person is a true anav. If he's a gibor, he's an usher and a chacham, and he's still an anav, now we know he's a true anav. It says in the Joshua Saran, we can easily understand why one needs the characteristics of a chacham and an anav to receive nevuah. That makes sense to us. You know, a chacham, a wise man, and an anav, we know this yesod to be machni yisal to the Rebbeinu Shalom. An anav is a very important midah. Moshe was an anav mikol. We understand that. He says, we can also understand why you have to be a gibor. Why? Because often the times that the Navi gave harsh nevuah to Klal Yisrael, Yirmiyah and others, they gave very harsh nevuah to Klal Yisrael, saying you better do tshuva. So, I mean, you know, if they weren't a gibor, you know, people wouldn't, you know, they'd be scared, they'd run, they would have a much greater fear to give the nevuah, and maybe they'd get beaten up, so to say. You know, you have to have, you know, shtolts, so to say, to be able to give over such musr when the Klal Yisrael were doing chatan. He said, but why do you have to be wealthy? Who cares about money? Zakhtaran, the Navi's job is to make himself a Shalom, a complete person in Avodas Hashem. He also has to lead Klal Yisrael in the proper path of Avodas Hashem. Zakhtaran, it says in Koheles v'chochmas ha-miskin b'zuyo u'duvar of Einim Nishmoyim, a poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are ignored. In order to receive nevuah, one must be affluent. He has to be wealthy in order that others will listen to him. Not because inherently he needs to be wealthy, but because if he's not wealthy, people don't listen to the poor. And therefore, he had that. That was a qualification. Zakhtar Maramshik. Pilei Plom Maramshik. It's just mind-boggling. He says, Maridik. The Gemara in the Dharam tells us that we learned from Moshe Rabbeinu all of these four qualifications. Psalacha. You gotta be rich, because Moshe got rich from Psalacha. Obvious question. Before Psalacha, Moshe Rabbeinu was not rich, apparently. It's not like that in Rashi. I've spoken to numerous people about this Yisugya, and many said, no, Moshe Rabbeinu was always rich, but it doesn't seem to be accurate to say so. It would seem that the rest of Klal Yisrael were richer than Moshe. I found the Chayim Tov, who quotes a Medrash, that actually says that Pashtus Moshe Rabbeinu was the poorest man in Klal Yisrael. Why was he the poorest man in Klal Yisrael? Because Klal Yisrael, when they left Mitzrayim, they went and borrowed Klei Chezer, Klei Zov, Usmolos from the Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was busy with Atzmas Yosef. Klal Yisrael got Bizer Yamsuf when they left the Yamsuf, from the Yamsuf and the Mitzrayim that died in the Yamsuf. What was Moshe doing? Atzmas Yosef. It would seem Moshe was the poorest man in Klal Yisrael. So how could we learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu that in order to receive Nevuah you have to be rich, when we know Moshe Rabbeinu definitely had Nevuah before this point in time? He didn't start getting Nevuah now all of a sudden, Psalacha. Moshe Rabbeinu was already up in Shemayim for 40 days the first time. This is already way past that. He has Nevuah for a very long time. So what's the pshat? How can we learn it out? Zokta Maramshik. In a perfect world, if a Navi would give a Nevuah to Klal Yisrael, certainly all of Klal Yisrael would heed the Navi's words. When Klal Yisrael received the Torah, Pashtu Zu Hamasan, the tumah that was on this world left Klal Yisrael. Pashtu Zu Hamasan, the Zu Hamah disappeared. However, after Klal Yisrael did the Chet Egel, the Zu Hamah came back. This tumah came back. And after, once Klal Yisrael had this Zu Hamah back, unfortunately, they would not necessarily listen to the commands of Hashem through the Navi. It was at this juncture that Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy, when he just had the Chet Egel. The Chet Egel means that the Zu Hamah came back. By the Zu Hamah coming back, now Klal Yisrael on a lower level. Zogt Ram Sheikh, by Matt and Tyre, people listened to Moshe Rabbeinu even though he was not wealthy. Until at the point when Moshe Rabbeinu, Matt and Tyre, Hitaka, the Klaishal listened to him as a Navi. Why? Even though he didn't have money, even though he was poor. You know why? Because Pashtu Zamasan, there was no Zuama. But now, when the Zuama came back, and today, and all the years through generations, the Zuama was back when there was Nevi'im. That's when you needed to have money, because in a world of Zuama, people don't listen to someone, to the poor man, like the Ran said. They don't listen to the poor man. But that's a Vartan Zuama. When there's no Zuama in a perfect world, certainly the money would mean nothing, and no one would care about money. And that's the reason why we learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu, now that Klai Yisrael did the Chet HaEgel, and now that money counts, now you have to have this qualification of money. Zokten the Klai Yoker. Parshas B'Shalach Vayelchu Shoshes Yom HaMidbar V'lo Yimotzu Mayim. They went for 3 days in the Midbar, did not find water. What's Mayim? Mayim, it refers to spiritual water. What is spiritual water? The study of the Torah HaKadosha. Klai Yisrael was so preoccupied with the loot, the booty at the seashore, they neglected the spiritual water, the study of the Torah. This Avera manifested itself in Klai Yisrael's lack of physical water. You know why they didn't find physical water, Mayim? Because they turned away and neglected the spiritual water of the study of the Torah HaKadosha. It says in the Avnei Nezer, Vayikach Moshe Atmos Yosef Imoy, the Medrash says that Moshe was a Chacham Lev, was wise of heart, Chacham Lev, for taking the bones of Yosef. Why is Moshe's choice of taking Atmos Yosef wise as opposed to Klal Yisrael, who also followed the command of Hashem by taking the Bizim Mitzrayim? The Baruch Hashem commanded Moshe to command Klal Yisrael to go ask all of the Mitzrayim for Klei Chesed, Klei Zav. Go get it. Go. It's a command. When Klal Yisrael went and said, excuse me, Mr. Mitzri, Mrs. Mitzri, can I please borrow your gold and your silver, and they got that? That was a mitzvah. So what's the difference? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu kol chacham lev yikach mitzvahs, and Moshe Rabbeinu was a chacham lev, that he took mitzvahs? Because he went to give Atzmas Yosef. Klal Yisrael were also doing mitzvahs. They were following the command of the Baruch Hashem to take the silver and gold from the Mitzrayim. Zokt Avnezer. Certain mitzvahs are accompanied by personal physical pleasure again, while others are performed purely for the fulfillment of Hashem's Ratzon. A mitzvah performed completely lishma is greater than one performed only partially lishma. Moshe Rabbeinu was wise. Why? Because he chose to do the mitzvah which gave him no personal gain. He did the mitzvah completely l'shem shemayim, as opposed to the mitzvah of Klal Yisrael, fulfill the will of Hashem, but not completely for altruistic reasons. So he's explaining that, yeah, you're right. Klal Yisrael also fulfilled a dictum of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ratzon Hashem, yes, go, please, and hey, get my gold and silver. But you know why Moshe was smart? Because they had a choice. Take one of two mitzvahs. One mitzvah, which is taking gold and silver, which also has a personal physical benefit. When a person has also a benefit, it's hard to be 100% l'shem shemayim. I'm doing it because God told me I see a pot of gold, I'm going to go get it. God told me a mitzvah. But I'm also getting gold. I'm 100% l'shem shemayim. No personal negiyas. Moshe Rabbeinu went and he was the Chacham Lev. What did he do? He went and take mitzvahs. What mitzvahs? Atzmas Yosef. Obviously, if he's taking Atzmas Yosef, which is no physical, personal gratification, no hanor from it, he knew that before he started the mitzvah, he knew he had a better chance of doing it 100% lishma. And that's why it was called Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvah. Dr. Shachal Teir. Moshe received the psalus, the refuse, the non-important part of the stone, and he became wealthy from it. Dr. Shach, why did Moshe need this wealth, and what did he do with it? He says, Chazal are teaching us that money that Moshe received was psalus compared to the Torah HaKadosha. The main part of this stone, this precious stone, were used for the Luchas, the Torah HaKadosha. The unimportant part, the psalus, had much physical value. What are we supposed to learn from this? It's a lesson for life. The Torah HaKadosha is more valuable than all the physical riches in the world. This tremendous wealth, physical wealth that Moshe Rabbeinu got was from the psalus. What's the true wealth? What's the true value in this world? Is the Luchas itself, the Torah HaKadosha. Perhaps now we can understand why Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy, and specifically, he became wealthy immediately after the ego was made. There were two mitzvahs that needed to be done. One was taking the Bezer Mitzrayim, gold and silver, and the other was taking Atzmus Yosef. Moshe chose Atzmus Yosef, while the rest of Klal Yisrael chose the Bezer Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu had only one goal in mind, the will of his Creator. Klal Yisrael also wanted to fill the will of Creator. However, they said, look, we can do a mitzvah, we'll also become wealthy from it. Moshe Rabbeinu became wealthy after the Chet Egel because, unfortunately, the Zuama returned. And wealth was needed for people to listen to and respect him. You know why Moshe Rabbeinu got wealthy? He had to be richer than everyone else, because if he would have had less money than them, like we said, that from the Ran, that people do not listen to the poor man. You say it of Zuama. It's not a proper thing. But that is the way man is in a state of Zuama. So that's why Moshe got rich. And why he got rich specifically over here, because here is where it was needed. This is where people would listen to him. However, there is something much more profound that we can learn from here. Aside from this, he said, Moshe chose to take Asmat Yosef and left the midst of taking the valuables of the Mitzrayim fathers. It seems that Moshe was the poorest person in all of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael had gold, and what did they do with that gold? They ended up making an eagle with some of that gold. The Machloikis, whether they used the Bezer Mitzrayim or Bezer Yamsa, but either way, they used that gold that they received. The Torah is teaching us that one who Hashem wants to make rich will become rich. Moshe did not take the valuables from the Mitzrayim, and nonetheless, in one moment, he went from being the poorest in Klal Yisrael to possibly the wealthiest in Klal Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu went and took the Atmos Yosef. Klal Yisrael said, we're going to get rich, we're going to do a mitzvah and get rich. You should know that everything is B'yad Hashem. If you're going to get rich, Rabbeinu Hashem wants you to get rich anyways. Klal Yisrael Nebuch took that gold, and some of that gold was used to make an eagle. Moshe Rabbeinu got nothing but pure mitzvahs. We need to focus on the will of the Ratzon Hashem and not any ulterior motives. It's very difficult, not easy to do. We must always remember to follow the commands of the Baruch Hashem for no other reason than we want to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. It is something that has to be worked on. It's not easy for all of us. But when a person has an opportunity to do a mitzvah, it should be a thought. Like they says in the Goyin, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elekeinu Melech HaElam. That's the beginning of a Baruch Asher Kedishanu, B'mitzvah, that he was Mekadosh with his mitzvahs. Kama, Vitzivanu, and you know why I'm going to do this mitzvah? I'm making a fact, I'm blessing the Baruch Hashem, whatever that means, which is a lengthy discussion in and of itself, but in Baruch Hashem was Mekadosh us with mitzvahs. But you want to know why I'm going to do this mitzvah now? Vitzivanu, whatever the bracha is. You know why I'm going to do the mitzvah? Because the Baruch Hashem commanded me. Have a wonderful Shabbos.